beautiful. I have a few announcements, so if you could continue to listen, pay attention. We have the men's prayer meeting this coming Saturday, the 21st. It'll be here at the Study Center at 9 a.m. Those of you who participate in that know the details. If you don't know the details and you have a question, ask a man in the room, and they can point you to those that are in charge of that. The bookstore is open today, I noticed. It wasn't one of my announcements, but it's always a blessing to see them out there putting material out that'll be a benefit to your study of God's Word. And also they are there to ask questions about anything you have, if you need pointed in the right direction for specific areas of study. The forms are available for the men's and women's weekend in the lobby on the credenza. It's also available online. All the questions you would have are on there, or the answers are on this form. And there's even you can even email if you have another question that you don't see an answer to. Just a heads up, they both look the same, except there's one key word up in the corner, men's and women's. So make sure you are getting the correct form and fill that out. And there is a deadline for this, but it can be today. You could turn it in today. So if you know you're going to go, do it sooner than later. I know we get busy and forget, but the deadlines are, the weekends, first of all, our women's weekend is April 10th through the 12th. And, that starts on a Friday night and ends on a Sunday afternoon. And the deadline for that is March 15th at 12:30 p.m., which is a Sunday, and you can drop it in the basket out there. And then the men's is the following week at Camp Akita also. April 17th through the 19th, and that's the deadline for that is Sunday, March 22nd at 12:30 p.m. Again, there's the forms are out there in the lobby, and they're also online on our website. And just another also reminder, if you're two people are going, a man and a woman, like a husband and a wife, and they want to turn it, they can turn in their fee together. It doesn't have to be separate. So that's just an added something that will be helpful. So before we hear God's Word taught by Tom Burke this morning, we're going to sing number 83, More, Much More. And those of you that like to stand and stretch your legs a little bit, and plus this is a good song to move on a little bit too. So More, Much More, number 83.
Thanks, Eric. God bless everybody. We're going to start out in Romans 10 this morning, and I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you once again as we open your word that we remember that these words are spirit and life. They go beyond anything that man could concoct. God, they're words from you. They're always true, and they're always effectual. And I pray that our hearts might be turned towards your word today for the answers that we need, and for guidance and blessing from you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Well, the past three, we're taking a total right turn here, because the past 3 weeks, well, not a total right turn, but the past 3 weeks we've been looking at the message of the cross and what a wonderful needed message it is, right? I sent you a message, Nathan. Did you get it? That's because I intended to send you a message. Did you get it? No. This message, as wonderful as it is, it has to be delivered, right? Yeah. Romans 10 talks about that. In verse 11, it says, the scripture says, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. There's no difference between Jew and Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Whosoever shall call, look at this, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Right? Is that complicated? No. Okay. Nathan, you never got my message because I never sent that message, right? So we want people to believe this wonderful message of the cross. First, they have to hear it. And to hear it, somebody needs to be speaking it, right? You know, Eric told me he had written the greatest song of his life last week. And I said, when can I hear it? He goes, never. I don't know if it was because you don't like me or just because you're embarrassed that I might not like your song as much as you do. Either way, I don't get to hear it, right? Because you won't play it for me. As great as Eric's song is, I'm sure, I haven't heard it. As great as, as great as I'm sure it is, I can never hear those words because he won't sing them to me. How much more this message of the cross, right? Which brings us from darkness to light, from death to eternal life, from the kingdom of Satan to the power of God. How much more? And yet the key element in that, God gave the message. Christ paid for it. It will deliver anyone who calls on the name of the Lord. The one variable is anybody going to speak it? And in light of that, I thought we'd spend some time looking at something today, beginning in the book of Acts. If you turn to Acts 4, please. I think this is going to primarily speak to those of you who are Christians today. Because if you are not, then you haven't yet believed that message or haven't yet heard that message. So how in the world can you be one who delivers that message, right? If you haven't heard that message, you're in a good place for that today. You may not hear it word for word from me, but I think there's probably a few people here that could tell you about what Jesus Christ accomplished. If you've heard it but you haven't believed it, how come? You should, okay? But today is primarily for those who have heard it and believed it and know how badly others need it. They're not like Eric who just, I'm too busy to deliver the message. They want to, they desire to, but something's holding them back. In Acts chapter 3, we read about the healing of a blind man. I said Acts 4. We're going to Acts 4. In Acts chapter 3, we read about the healing, this great healing that occurred via Peter and John. And a man who'd been lame got up and walked and leaped and praised God. And Peter and John made it clear that this isn't through our own power or holiness. But yeah, we did heal this man. But the power and the holiness was due to the work of Jesus Christ. And of course, like so often happens when you heal someone or perform a miracle, the door is open to give that message to the cross. And they did, okay? That was brought to the attention of the religious leaders who didn't like it so much. What they didn't like was the fact that people were listening to somebody other than them regarding the things of God. So they took him away to jail and they admonished him not to speak anymore. The next day they were interrogated and were threatened. And not only didn't they faint, they used that opportunity to once again deliver the message to the religious leaders. If you haven't read, the whole book of Acts is great, but Acts 3, 4, and 5 are a beautiful package. If you want something to read this week, take time and savor it. It's just a wonderful, wonderful record of how the message of the gospel, the message of the cross, changes lives. And because it does, it's going to be opposed. But because it's a message from God, the victory always is ours in the long run. So here Peter and John were brought before the religious leaders and threatened. And, you know, somebody who was just bringing forth any old message might be terrified by that, might be tempted to back down. Peter and John just came right back with, you know, oh, you don't like this message? Let us tell you this message. And at the end of the day, they let them go. And that's where we're going to pick it up in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 23. It says, being let go, they went to their own company and reported all the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, who's made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up. The rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Of a truth, against the holy child Jesus, whom you had anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatsoever your hand and your counsel determined before to be done. Now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. By stretching forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of your holy child Jesus, or holy servant Jesus. When they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with what? Boldness, boldness. Today I want to talk to you about that word boldness, okay? It's the Greek word parhesia. You can look it up if you want to know how it's spelled. And I'd like to show you a little bit today about how this word is used in God's word, this word parhesia. It's used of primarily of speaking, like in this record, right, that they spoke the word of God with boldness. It's also used of certain actions, and I'd like to start by showing you a few of those. Look at Ephesians 3, please. Yeah, this is one of those Sundays you're going to have to think a little bit. Oh, man. Ephesians chapter 3, speaking of the fullness of the message of what God accomplished via Jesus Christ. We'll start down and we'll jump in the middle of the context and start in verse 11, where it says, according to the eternal purpose, the purpose of the ages, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom, in Christ Jesus our Lord, we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Now, what's access? Yeah, I used to use my son as an example. I can now use my granddaughter as an example. No matter what I'm doing in my office, when she wants me, the door comes open, and she needs three batteries for her flashlight, or she needs something, and, you know, she doesn't care what I'm doing, because she knows she has access. She knows that I love her so much, I'm not going to kick her out, even though I might feel like it at times. And that's access. She doesn't knock on the door, right? Some, adults might knock on the door. She just comes in, and I don't lock the door. So she has continual access to me whenever she wants. She gets my attention, right? And that's access. Only it's, thank God, this isn't speaking of access to me. Who's it speaking of access to? God, okay. And it says that again in verse 12, in Christ we have boldness and access with confidence by faith of him, or the faith regarding him. It says something similar in Hebrews 10, if you could turn there, please. Verse 19 says, having therefore, brethren, boldness, parhesia, to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way that he's consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh. Having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. In both these records, where it speaks of boldness, does it speak about praying for it? No. It says we have it. Okay. Oh, wait a minute. Sometimes I feel really scared about just opening my heart to God. When I've just been out in left field sinning, I kind of tremble. This word parhesia, I'll suggest for your consideration today, doesn't mean courage. In both these records, you can't read it as courage. Because some days you might not have the courage, right? But do you have the access? So when it says that we have, doesn't say pray for, doesn't say someday. It says if you believed on Jesus Christ, you have that access. You have boldness to approach. It can't mean you have the courage to approach, because even though God's opened that door, you know, when you've been out running around with your friends at 3 a.m, and then you're doing a family fellowship the next morning, you may feel, I don't know if God wants to hear my prayer. He does, but you might feel that way, right? So you might be lacking in courage, but has your access disappeared? No. There's another, with that understanding, let's consider a few other places where this word parhesia is used of actions rather than words. Because I believe just from those two verses, a better translation of this word, parhesia, is not boldness, perhaps freedom, perhaps openness. Okay? I have the freedom to approach, right? But whether I have the courage or not is up to me, but I have the freedom. In Christ, I have the freedom to approach God, just like my granddaughter has the freedom to barge into my office whenever she wants to. We have that same freedom. Stick with me here, and I think you'll see how significant this is. Hebrews 4. Verse 16. This is a form of that same word. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. From what we saw just in those two other verses in Ephesians and Hebrews, do I have access to the throne of grace? Yeah. So do I need to get up my courage to come? No. But I can come freely now because of what Christ has accomplished. I can come freely to the throne of grace, to find grace to help. Here's a great one. 1 Timothy 3, please. First Timothy 3. Verse 13. It's speaking here of leadership in the church. Verse 13 in the King James is a little complicated. It says, they that have used the office of a deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith, which is in Christ Jesus. What does your NIV say?
Great assurance in their faith.
No, the whole verse. Somebody nice and loud.
A deacon must be the husband of but one wife and must manage his children and his household well. Those who have served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus.
Okay, well here the NIV translates that word assurance. Just about every other place it's used, they translated boldness. Why would they translate it assurance here? Yet I don't think assurance really covers what this word means. If it means a freedom and an openness, then you're talking about those who've served well, right? Those who've served well purchase to themselves a freedom, an openness. What does that mean? Okay, I'll tell you what it means. Here's Tommy, okay? Tommy has served in the church. He's been faithful. He's proven himself, okay? Here's Danny. Danny's just slacked off. You know, people come to his house for fellowship, and he's not home that night because he's out bowling. only one of them has served well, right? Which one would you go to if you needed words you could trust? Yeah, you go to Tommy, right? Which one would I be prone to asking to teach on a Sunday morning, for that matter? Tommy. Sorry, Danny. And but do you get the point? If you've served well, then you've earned not a boldness in the church, but a freedom, an openness, an availability. People will come to you. Your words are trusted because you've proven faithful. You understand? And this word, parhesia, like I said, it is mostly used about regarding words. And that's where I think it becomes important to you and me, and why I thought it was important that we look at it this morning. I don't want to get into that. Acts chapter 9. In Acts, we read a lot about the message being spoken, right? Anybody here have read the book of Acts? Okay. Does the book of Acts deal with the message being spoken often? Okay. So you might imagine this word parhesia would show up a lot in the book of Acts, right? And you would imagine, right, Acts chapter 9. Let's look at verse 26. It says, when Saul was come to Jerusalem, this is speaking of the one who would later be called the Apostle Paul, the one who had persecuted Christians but gotten born again. He came to Jerusalem. He essayed to join himself to the disciples. They were all afraid of him and didn't believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, declaring unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, that he had spoken with him, how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out of Jerusalem. And he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. I think, again, when we see that word boldly, most of us immediately think of bravery or courage. Maybe I'm wrong. I mean, when I see the word boldly, I think of bravery or courage. Maybe the translators of so many of the modern translations and of the King James didn't think that boldness meant bravery or courage. In my mind, it does, you know. And so is it speaking here of Paul speaking courageously or Paul speaking openly? Paul speaking freely. I would suggest to you that it's not a commentary on his boldness. It's a commentary on the fact that when he got born again, he started speaking the word of God openly. He started speaking the word of God freely in Damascus and later in Jerusalem. Okay. And, what's interesting is when you look at some of the, less known modern translations, that's exactly how they translated: publicly, freely, openly. In the Aramaic, if you ever consider the Aramaic, it's translated from the Aramaic into English, publicly, freely, openly. Not just in Acts 9, but in all these records in Acts that we're going to look at. So does that change things a little bit? Is it saying that Paul courageously spoke the word? No, just that he spoke it openly. That might indicate some courage on his part. But the emphasis is he spoke it wherever he went. He spoke it openly, freely. He didn't speak it just in his living room on Wednesday night. He spoke publicly. How about Acts 13? It says in verse 46, Paul and Barnabas waxed bold. They started a candle shop. They waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first be spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I've set you to be a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. Here it says, Paul and Barnabas waxed bold. What does your NIV say?
Answered them boldly.
That's a better trait because it's not that they became bold, it's that they answered bold. But if parhesia means openly, freely, publicly, then they answered them freely. They answered them without hesitation. They answered them openly in front of everyone because they knew this message was true. So if somebody wants to reject the message, and I know it's true, does their rejection change anything? No, just their own salvation, right? How about Acts 14? I will start in verse 1. It came to pass in Iconium, they went both together to the synagogue of the Jews, and they so spoke that a great multitude of the Jews and also the Greeks believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony to the word of his grace, granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. So it says that the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles, and therefore they stayed longer. But again, and it may seem like a small point to you, but when we get to the end of this, you'll see it's not a small point. Is it saying that they, long time therefore, they stayed there speaking courageously? Or speaking openly, speaking publicly, speaking freely? At the very least, that's a possibility, right? That it's not a commentary on their courage, but a commentary on the fact that even though they had all this opposition, they continued to speak publicly. They continued to speak openly. They continued to speak freely, right? In fact, even in Weymouth, in his translation of this verse, translates it as freely. Acts 18. Verse 24, a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man, mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord. Being fervent in the spirit, he spoke and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. Why not? He began to speak openly in the synagogue. He began to speak publicly in the synagogue. Again, maybe in the translator's mind, maybe they know the English language better than I do. And when they think of the word boldly, they think of just being open and public. I don't know, but to my little brain, when I read boldly, I think, boy, they spoke loudly, maybe courageously. He came in there to the synagogue and spoke openly in front of everybody. Speaking of Paul coming to Ephesus, it says in verse 8, he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly, freely, openly, publicly, for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. See, so many of these about the Apostle Paul. You've read many of the times he spoke, right? They're recorded in God's word. Was he ever not bold? Can you read of any town he went to that's recorded in the book of Acts where he said, well, there's a lot of opposition here, so I better just... No, I mean, Paul's boldness was a given. That's another reason why I believe that perhaps a better reading of all these verses due to this word parhesia is not emphasizing any kind of courage. Paul had that in spades, right? At times he didn't. But most of the time he did things I'd be scared to do. So is it a commentary on his courage or just a commentary on the fact that he spoke openly, freely, publicly? Here's one that really clinches it. You think Jesus Christ ever lacked boldness? No, me neither. Me neither. John chapter 7. John chapter 7. This is speaking of the time that Jesus went to the feast when they were trying to kill him. He went to Jerusalem to the feast anyway. And in the midst of it, in verse 26, well, verse 25, after he spoke, some of them said, "Isn't this the guy they're trying to kill?" But lo, he speaks boldly, and they say nothing to him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is truly Christ? I think your NIV here says,
speaking publicly.
Same word. Now, I have a problem with that. Okay? I assume the NIV translators got to this point, this verse, and said, well, Jesus always spoke boldly, so how do we translate this one? How about publicly? Yeah, because that's what it should mean. You know, my problem is, if they translated publicly here, why not in all those records in the book of Acts, where it fits just as well, if not better, than the word boldly? Have I lost you today? Do you understand? Okay, good, good. I think you know where I'm going with this. It will become personal very quickly. One more. Ephesians 6. Well, this may be a shorter teaching today. Give you time to speak freely, openly, and publicly with each other afterwards. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 18. In light of what we've seen so far. Chapter 6, Paul speaks about putting on the whole armor and then continues in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now, in light of what we've seen, is Paul saying, asking them to pray for him to get the courage to speak? The reason he was in prison was he was courageous when he spoke, right? And that didn't stop him. I would suggest to you what he's saying is, pray for me to get opportunities to speak openly, opportunities to speak publicly, opportunities to speak freely. I understand that prayer, you know. That's a prayer every one of us can ask people to pray for us. You know, you go to work and it seems like everybody there is hardened to the gospel. So you get with your fellowship on Wednesday night or Thursday night or whatever it might meet, and you say, hey, can you pray for me to have open doors? Can you pray for me to have opportunities to speak this wonderful message publicly, freely, openly? That's something I could see us praying for, right? I think that's what Paul's requesting of the believers here. Does that affect what we read back in Acts chapter 4? Okay, good. Let's go back to those verses in Acts chapter 4. And please understand, I'm not on a quest to change every Bible translation. My purpose today is just to make clear to you what I believe these verses really say. Okay? That when they're speaking about boldness, however, you know, I'm fully ready to accept that all these translators, when you ask them what's boldness, they said, oh, it's speaking freely and openly. So my issue isn't change that word boldness, it's bad. But when we read that word, we recognize, oh, it's not speaking necessarily about courage. It's speaking about, I've got the courage. I just want opportunities to make this message known, like Romans 10 spoke about, right? So back here, consider this in Acts chapter 4. We didn't read it, but I told you Peter and John had been imprisoned, right? And as much as the religious leaders tried to intimidate them, they weren't intimidated, right? They spoke the gospel to them. the message they had delivered that day in Jerusalem, about 5,000 people responded to it and believed. The religious leaders couldn't find a way to tie Peter and John into knots. So they emerged from prison. God delivered them from prison. Would you call that a defeat or a victory? Yeah, defeat for the Pharisees, maybe. I'd call that a victory, too. Would that kind of miraculous victory, 5,000 have believed, the governing powers couldn't stop it, they let you go from prison, would that inspire you to fear? Me neither. Me neither. That would inspire me to do the same thing. That would inspire me to want to be a part of this victory, right? So consider, again, Acts 4, 29. Now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness we may speak thy word, by stretching forth your hand to heal. Signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, holy servant, Jesus. What are they praying for here? Give us more opportunities to speak God's word. You know, open doors for us. Let us work some signs and miracles in one's way, like Peter and John just did. And as a result of that, 5,000 believed. That's what I'd be praying for. Put me in, coach, right? That's what I'd be praying for. I believe that's what they were praying for. And of course, when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. They were all filled with Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God freely, openly, publicly. And you could read about the result of that in the chapters that follow. See? And again, you know, often people quote those verses, they say, they prayed for boldness. No, it says, with all boldness, we pray that with all boldness we might speak thy word. They were not praying for boldness, they were praying for opportunities, bigger and bigger opportunities to speak God's word. And you know what I mean by that. You know, at school, at work, you can't just stand up in the cafeteria and start delivering the gospel, right? They won't let you. Even if you could, it wouldn't be appropriate. But you know those times where just God's put me here and it's time to open my mouth. See. So. When we pray for boldness, I believe we're praying for opportunity to speak God's word freely, openly, publicly. I don't think it refers to courage. Okay, thank you, Tom, but what if, now that you've defined it for me, what if what I really need is courage? Okay? Do we have those times? So I've taught you, don't call it boldness anymore, call it courage. Great. How does that help? Well, I can show you one way in which timidity can be turned to courage. Okay. Again, when you consider those records in the book of Acts, many of you have read it many, many times. You've read what Peter went through. You've read what Paul went through. Barnabas, John, Stephen, who was killed for delivering the message, right? The many times they were imprisoned, they were beaten. Would you do that for a message that you were kind of sure about? Me neither. Me neither. You would only risk your life like that for a message that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt is true, right? I've mentioned this to you before, but perhaps if you're in a position where you want to speak God's word to people, but you're a little timid, you're a little afraid, maybe the thing to do is not pray for boldness or pray for courage, but look at myself and say, do I know these words are true? Do I know these words are true? Because if I know these words are true, you can't shut me up. If I'm trying to believe these words are true, then there may be limits that I won't go beyond, right? How can I know these words are true? Well, number one, do I read them? You know, it starts by me choosing to lay up my treasures in heaven and not on earth, right? Where am I investing my time? And, you know, we're certainly not a group that says, don't read any secular books, don't listen to any secular music, Lord knows. But we've read in Jeremiah, thy words were found and I had to eat them, and the word became the joy and rejoicing of my heart. You know, if you want it to become the joy and rejoicing of your heart, you got to eat it. You've got to feed on it. You've got to feed on it. We talk about this all the time, and yet people still come to me and say, well, you know, I really want to speak the word, but if it's real to you, you'll no longer have a problem with courage. See. But the way it becomes real to me is by putting it on, by feeding on it, and also by willingly putting a barrier on those things I know not to be true. You know? We'll never dictate to people how many hours you can spend on the internet. But you know how many shows you could binge watch, but you know what your brain feels like when you're done. Do you still know you're righteous, still know you're holy, still know you're beloved by God, still know that the world's evanescent, the world's a bubble? If not, then I'm feeding too much on the things of the world, and no wonder the message doesn't seem real enough to me to speak to my friends and neighbors. So I have to do some house cleaning, maybe, when it comes to what I feed on. And the other thing is, I can do what Paul did in Ephesians 1. Turn there, please. Ephesians 1, we all know this one. Paul speaking here of what he prayed for specifically when it came to these believers. And we'll start in verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding, or the eyes of your heart in the texts, being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. Oh, that we may know. So here he speaks about not just putting on the word of God, but on his part, praying for those believers who have put on the word of God, that the eyes of their hearts might be enlightened. I can pray that for myself too, can't I? And I can pray it for my friends and fellow believers as well. Because these words are not man's words, because they're God's words, because they're living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, there's knowing and there's knowing. You know, you five girls are pretty smart, right? I could probably ask you a lot of biblical facts, and you know them, right? But do you know them? See, do you know them like you know your own name? Do you know them like you know that it was raining this morning when you drove it? See, do I know them like I know reality? Because if God's word is correct, these words aren't just a pleasant fantasy to help us get through this awful life. They are reality. See, it's this that's temporary, you know. And of course, that's laughable in the world, right? That, what do you mean? You know, the music awards are just temporary? Yeah. But the eternal rewards are eternal. You know. Man has his purposes, but God has a purpose of the ages, right? An eternal purpose. That's real. If it's not totally real to you right now, that's okay. Better to be honest about that than pretend like it's real, because you'll fall on your face if you're pretending it's real. But how about making it real for yourself by putting on the Word of God and asking Him, God, just show me this thing. We've got at least one person in this church I know just at a camp years ago was feeling left out because everyone around that person was just excited and pumped and learning so much and changing, and they were getting nothing. And so that person prayed that night, God, just make this. And according to what I heard, she stayed up all night reading God's Word. It just opened up for her. It became real, see? So he prays here for them, the eyes of their heart being enlightened that they might know these things. See? If I know these words are real, and I know God's given me the privilege of speaking them in this world so that people can hear and people can believe. If I know they're more true than the rain this morning, you won't be able to shut me up. And I won't be praying for courage. I'll be praying for more and more and more opportunities to speak this word. Just a couple more things, I think. Let's look at Joshua, Joshua chapter 1. We do need courage for some things, right? Anybody here ever need courage? Yeah. What made the Hottentots so hot? What put the ape in apricot, Nathan? What do they got that I ain't got? Courage, that's right. You don't know what I'm talking about, do you? Okay, ask mom and dad when you get home. Joshua chapter 1. Can you imagine being Joshua? For 40 years, God's worked through Moses. Moses brought him the law. Moses told them what God wanted them to do. Moses saved their you-know-whats on more than one occasion. Moses. And now it's Joshua. How would you like to step into those shoes or those sandals? I wouldn't either. That's why one of the first things that God tells this man, Joshua, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass, the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all the people, to the land I give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I've given it to you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness, this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, the great sea going toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I'll be with you also. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and of a good courage. Ah, so courage is needed. For unto this people shall you divide for an inheritance the land that I swear to their fathers to give them. So God's telling Joshua, you're going to need some courage. But let me ask you, courage to face the enemy? Courage to bring down the walls of Jericho? No, God did that. Context is very important, right? I love context, Katie, don't you? Okay. What kind of courage? Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law, the word that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand or the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then you'll make your way prosperous. Then you'll have good success. What is he telling Joshua to have courage to do? To not let go of God's word. Have you recognized Christian in this world that it takes a little courage to continue standing on God's word? Have you ever felt like chickening out? Yeah. So here he's telling Joshua, you're going to need courage, but courage to hold on to my word, courage to not let my word leave your thoughts, not let my word leave your lips, not let my word leave what you do. That's courage that we might need on occasion. Courage we might need every day, right? So, yeah, courage is required that this word might remain at the center of my thinking, remain at the center of my universe. For you and me, that Christ might remain there, you know. Have I not, I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Don't be afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God's with you wherever you go. I think we'll go to one more verse. Back in Acts chapter 4. You want a quick example of what freely and openly looks like? Acts chapter 4, when Peter and John were brought before the religious leaders. Verse 18 of chapter 4, they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you figure it out. For we cannot but speak the things that we've seen and heard. We cannot, we've got to speak the things we've seen and heard. So I've got to ask myself, have I seen them to the degree I want to see them? Have I heard them to the degree I want to hear them? I can. And then, like Peter and John, I could say, I've got to speak the things that I know. And I'm not acting. It's real. That's when we start praying for opportunities to speak these words freely, openly, publicly, because we know that them to be true. We know what they did for us, and we know how desperately men and women in the world need the same done for them, right? You know, personally, in case you think otherwise, for the first 15 years of my Christian life, I was praying for boldness, courage. Because I was looking for techniques, because, you know, I knew people who would go to the mall. We don't have those anymore too much, but they'd go to the mall and speak the word. People get delivered. And I was like, you know, at the end of the night, it was like, well, Nathan, how many did you speak to? I talked to 10, and 6 of them believed. Okay, Maria, how many did you speak to? I spoke to 12. 5 of them believed, and 3 of them got healed. Tom, who did you speak to? The waitress, I said thank you when she brought me a cup of coffee. And, I mean, that's not much of an exaggeration. But it, you know, thank God I finally realized what I'm sharing with you today. There was nothing missing in me. I had everything I needed in Christ. I just needed to decide it was real. You know. And the same goes for all of us. And I think most of you who don't maybe speak the word of God openly and freely and publicly the way you'd like to, you'd like to. And here's the answer. It's not to pray for boldness or confidence. It's to do these things that will help you see these words are true. And again, that might mean putting on some things, might mean putting off some things. certainly will involve asking our Heavenly Father to get involved, to help you see what you desire to see in His Word. And then we'll be among those, like we read in the book of Acts, you know. Won't be 5,000 every day, but it might be 5,000 one day. If it's two, is it worth it? You know, if it's two that wouldn't have heard if I'd chickened out, is it worth it? Let's see. You know, there's one other thing that we read in God's Word that's a tremendous boost to having the courage to speak God's Word openly, freely, publicly, any place, any time to anybody. And we're going to look at that next week. So I love you. I'm not joking. It's to do it justice, we need to take a whole Sunday morning, but this should be enough for you to consider for the week to come, right? And thank you so much for being here. Father, thank you so much for giving us these words. And God, I just pray that, well, I thank God that we're looking forward to your son's return, but I thank God in the meantime, you've given us these opportunities, and may we not waste a one of them, Father, because your word is so rich and pure and true, and so many haven't really heard it. Maybe they've heard verses, maybe they've heard slogans, but they haven't heard the message of the cross, Father. And I pray that you bring us to those who need to hear it, who desire to hear it, that they might be delivered as well. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.